Geshe-la has told us over and over and over again about his experience with Guru Samadhi Buddha Haruka and how on his retreat he would imagine Guru Samadhi Buddha Haruka was present in front of him, teaching him directly, talking to him, doing question and answer. And Geshe-la said, because he's so humble, he said sometimes it would be as if he was really there, giving him the oral transmission of the Ganden oral lineage. And he encourages us, do the same. So when we open our precious oral instructions in all our Kadampa books, the author is our teacher. We imagine he's right in front of us, Guru Tsongkhapa, Guru Buddha. He's reading to us, he's teaching us. Then we'll get so many blessings, and every line, every paragraph will teach our heart, touch our heart, and teach our heart, teach and touch our heart. And the most amazing thing, Guru Samadhi Buddha Haruka will appear in front of us because we're imputing, imagining that over and over and over again. That imputation, that imagination purifies our mind because correct imagination is a pure mind. Our mind becomes pure and we will see Guru Samadhi Buddha Haruka exactly the same way as we're seeing each other. So we need to be inspired by these examples. Even in our liberating prayer, in the last verse, when we say, may all suffering quickly cease. We imagine that. We imagine that. May all suffering quickly cease. May there be no suffering. That's the world in which everyone wishes to live. And it's appearing, no suffering, the cessation of suffering is appearing to our mind. All of this is experience of the practice of imagination. So finally, just to help us with the empowerment tomorrow, we think we can't become a Buddha because we're inherently ordinary. When we think of ourselves and we think of Buddha, there's such a huge gap. It feels like impossible to bridge that gap. So Buddha teaches us, if we understand, everything is mentally created, imagined. If you think about that, is that the I we're relating to? An I that's mere appearance, mere imputation, mere name. We're relating to an I that's a non-existent. That's an inherently existent I. So we need to know, as Geshe-la teaches us in modern Buddhism, the inherently existent I and the I that we normally see are synonymous. There is no I that we normally see. That means an I there, independent of the mind perceiving it. We believe our I is within our body and mind. There's no I there. Buddha encourages us, following the teachings in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, to search for that I. So I'd just like to remind you before tomorrow, because being able to engage in the practice of imagination means we're not believing that the things we normally see, ourself, our body, and all phenomena actually exist. This liberates us to impute, imagine, believe, bring into our present experience what we want to accomplish, mentally creating pure body, pure mind, pure self, pure world. It depends upon understanding that our self, our body, and all phenomena we normally see do not exist. So you know how to do this very well. I'll just remind you. So our self we normally see does not exist. This is such good news. There is no better news than this. If you want to hear good news every day, repeat to yourself over and over, the self I normally see does not exist. That's fantastic news, because then all its baggage doesn't exist either. So we need to prove this. Our self we normally see does not exist. And Geshe-la says, I can prove this with a simple method. So he's taught us this simple method, so we can prove it too. So normally we see ourself within our body and mind. There's no other reason. We see ourself within our body and mind. When we perceive our body and mind, we automatically think, I. Me, me, I. So if our body or mind are appearing, we're thinking, I, me, me. Seeing ourself within our body or mind. So now we need to investigate following Buddha's wisdom teachings from the Perfection of Wisdom teaching, a sutra from the Perfection of Wisdom sutra. Our body is not ourself. So we're going to look amongst our body and mind to see if we can find ourself, the self that we believe in, the self that we relate to, the self that we're adamant will never become a Buddha. And it won't, as long as we keep that view. Our body is not ourself. Our body is our possession. And our self is the possessor. We possess our body. Therefore, our body cannot be ourself. This is logical reasoning. So our conclusion is our body is not ourself. Our mind is also not ourself, because it is our possession. We are the possessor. We say, my mind. But besides these, our body, our mind, so our body is not ourself, our mind is not ourself. The collection of our body and mind cannot be ourself. But besides these, where is ourself? Where is ourself? That's another great question. Where is ourself? Where is ourself? Where's myself? When we search for ourself, we normally see with wisdom, ourself will disappear. It is unfindable. So why does it disappear? If ourself we normally see actually exists, when we search for it, it will appear more clearly. But the opposite happens. It actually disappears. This is the valid reason proving that the self we normally see does not exist at all.